In this week's episode, I have a very special guest on, my brother, Benjamin, Benji, as I like to call him. He is here to talk about his life, his interests, his hobbies, as well as a segment that I devoted to him called Bad Luck Benji. We're also talking about Eurovision. Is it worth watching? Should you go on Netflix right now and take a peek? We're also talking about some Disney debacle. We want to get into that a little later, as well as my brand new segment called Georgia on My Mind. You know the drill. Stay tuned for more. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling Davis. You were listening to my podcast. Oh, my darling Davis. So just to introduce my brother, he's a little, couple years older than me, and let's talk a little bit about you, Ben. So tell me a little bit about yourself, you know, why you're important, why you're interesting.
So I graduated Evangel University May 2017, went to Officer Bullock the fall of that year, went from August to January, and then I went to a couple training exercises that spring, and then the rest of the summer kind of prepared myself for the deployment. We left that fall, then deployed, stayed on deployment all the way through September, came home, went straight to El Paso, trained for a month the unit that was going to replace us overseas. So I trained two companies. After I trained those two companies, I went straight home and I went to Ranger School for the second time. And then May 1st comes around, I finally graduate 8 months later after October, and three recycles later, and I about died at this place.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, Ben went from like looking decently okay to his first like go around. He had to go in stages. I don't know if me and my listeners know a little bit about Ranger School. It's like, what, four different stages? You got RTAC, you got Mountain Stage, what, RTAC, Swamp Stage, and what else?
Darby, which is
Darby.
In Columbus, I missed
that. Okay.
Mountains, which is Camp Rogers up in Dahlonega. And then you have Swamp Phase, which is in Fort Eglin, or Eglin Air Force Base.
Right. And with all of those phases, the first two are what, like the hardest? The hardest is getting through RTAC, right?
Hardest.
Or
yeah,
Darby.
So it's hard to explain because like RTAC, 60% of people fail that first week, because the first week's where you just do all the testing.
Okay.
It's all the individual events that actually allow you to start the patrolling phases. So then, like, you know, the first week's kind of its own separate beast. You do all, basically every Army test you can possibly do in a week.
Okay, and then you get to Darby, and it's a little harder. Anyway, each phase, is as what Ben described, it gets a little bit easier. More people pass. More people have a percentage of passing. Unfortunately,
yes.
Well, fortunately, when Ben got to Mountain Phase, he had actually gone to UNG, which is where they host all of that, like, testing and training. So he passed out with flying colors, but then he gets to Swamp Phase. And this is Ben's bad luck. We'll talk about it a little later, but he takes a little bit longer to recycle. What was it, like three times?
Three times.
Yeah, three times total. He got an injury the first time, patrols the second, but the third, he passed with flying colors. We were so excited because that's kind of when Corona hit. You know, coronavirus came through, and they weren't doing any more classes. Like, after that, they were like, this is it. And I felt bad for the people who failed, but you passed and got that Ranger tab. Tell me a little bit about your deployment. You did deploy to Afghanistan. That was, what, for 9 months?
Yes, 9 months. We were over there. I was in the southeastern part, RS Southeast, basically.
Okay.
I know our job is just like guardian angels for like the SBAB that goes on their missions. So
okay, cool. What would you say was the most challenging part of being deployed to Afghanistan?
You just can't go anywhere to get things. Like, you're just so used to getting in your car and like going to wherever. There's no fast food restaurants. There's like the one, you know, restaurant there that the Afghans have. Like, you can't just like get just any like simple pleasures that like you think you have. You have like your Coke and Rippets. Like, there's nothing else. There's no fast food. There's no nothing.
So, I mean, it was pretty much like you being quarantined without being quarantined, right?
Yes, because you're stuck on like a base that's like 400 meters by 400 meters. It's tiny. The first base we were on was too big, and then the next one we were on was like too tiny, and you're stuck on there with like 400 people, and you only see the same 400 people every day. So that's something else you learn too, is learn how to cooperate with a lot of people. If that bond's not there and that friendship and trust isn't there, then it can
become difficult. It's like living in a small city.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you make one person uncomfortable or you say one wrong thing, it's like you really have to go behind yourself and try to not redeem yourself, but make that situation right, because one person.
Like, let me put it that way.
Yeah. And like I was saying about small cities, it's just hard because one person can create a ripple effect. If you just say one wrong thing, like that can, you know, that can hurt an entire person's reputation just for one kind of inaccuracy or one statement that
rumors
gets,
or,
yeah, one thing that gets rippled to other people. But I'm glad you learned about that. I mean, it's important. So Ben, where do you want this kind of military career to take you? What do you see for it for you in the future?
So I'm kind of excited because, you know, I signed up for the 20-year program, so hopefully I can take it 20 years or more with the Guard. But I got a Ranger tab now. It basically, you're 1% of the 1%, 1% of the military, 1% of Ranger tabs. So I have something that is on the resume that, hey, look, it makes you stand out even in the infantry world. So got some more training exercises coming up. I'm excited about, hopefully can go do some more stuff with the Army in general. We've done so much, even in, like, I got out of Ranger school and we went straight to, you know, the COVID response. We went straight to the riot response. It's just, you can do so many things with the Guard. It's, even though, like, necessarily what we were doing, like, with riots or COVID, it can be kind of scary, but, like, you just get to do so many different things. Deploy, Ranger school, testing. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there for the Guard.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I mean, tell me a little bit about the riot patrol. I know a lot of people were kind of, like, not happy about, you know, Governor Kemp asking the Georgia National Guard to come in, but how was that experience for you?
So the first, it's kind of a weird feeling because, I don't know, no one has ever been called up for riots necessarily, at least in our unit. And we got called up, went to Atlanta, hung out for a little while. They really just stationed us everywhere. We didn't really see too many protesters. We didn't really have to break up anybody. It was more of just a presence patrol, like to back up the police for when they needed us. So we did that for about 2 weeks. Never necessarily in the fight. We just were there.
Yeah, I mean, do they even like allow you to carry guns or anything like that?
So we do, but we only carry non-lethal rounds.
Gotcha.
So we definitely made sure, because they are like lethal weapons, but we taped them off with tape. Like, look, these aren't, so people would understand they're not lethal rounds in them.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like the main difference between Atlanta with riots and protesting versus like San Francisco or California, you got New York, is that Atlanta's a very wide city. It's a lot of space. I mean, whereas New York, it's tiny. It's a very limited amount of space for people to live, to work, to breathe. So in terms of protesting, you can gather millions of people, thousands if not, in one spot and really get congested in areas. Whereas Atlanta, I feel like you can't do that. So that might be why you didn't see a lot of protesters.
Well, yeah, and it's spread out. I mean, when you say Atlanta, it's really like the entire 285 circle and more. It's like you have downtown, which really that's where most of the protesters go anyway, is like the Centennial Park. But again, we were just like a presence. And, you know, the nice thing is like necessarily the whole movement anyway isn't necessarily towards the military. It's about police reform, I guess, more about that. So like they don't really, you know, get up, they don't really necessarily like come at us, I guess. So it's another positive for us, like at least on our side.
So I'm really interested. I don't think my brother and I have ever really talked about this much because I think he forgets some of these details.
Oh, no.
Ben, what was it like growing up with me? Let's just spill some tea here. Let's talk about what it was like growing up with me.
It was loud.
Oh my gosh, that's the only thing you can say.
Sorry, it was
it was what?
Miserable.
So you literally can only say, I mean, in I
you
cannot
know,
believe you.
I treated my sister like a queen. And all she did was be savage and make jokes and laugh at me the entire time.
How dare you? Because I would say that Ben and I are very different. Ben's a very much like lovey-dovey person. Like, give me hugs, give me kisses. Apparently, when I was young, Mom tells us all the time that Ben just wanted to hug you and love you and do everything for you. And I was just not that baby. I'm just not that person. I don't want to be coddled. I don't want to be hugged and touched. Like, thinking about it makes me icky. It's just weird, and I like it, but on my terms, like, but that's not Ben's motto. Ben's motto is my way with hugs or the highway, which the highway was your sister getting mad at you at all times.
Yeah, so I just hug her, and then she'd get really mad at me and punch me or do something. I don't know.
Stop. You know what's a good story? Remember when we played hide and seek when we were like 2 and 4? You know where the story's going?
Oh, the spaghetti. The spatula. Oh my gosh.
So this obviously, my innate fear for scariness, hide and seek, any type of play that makes my anxiety high. When I was young, my brother and I played hide and seek, and apparently I grabbed the only weapon I could at the time, which was a spatula. You know, the little prong things that you pull spaghetti out?
The spaghetti one, yeah.
Yeah, little spaghetti spatulas. Not spatulas, but the little prong ones.
Whatever you call it.
And I was holding onto it for dear life in a spot that I thought nobody could find me. And Ben comes whipping around the corner. Boom!
I scared the crap out of her.
And guess what I did? My reflex.
Knocked me out.
I whacked him so hard in the forehead. He has a small little scar that will always be known as
like
a place.
Harry Potter.
Like Harry Potter. As forehead. Always will be known. You mess with me, you get the spaghetti spoon. And I'm going to whack you in the head with it.
I don't even remember what hit me. It was so. I'm glad I have eyes. I'm glad you didn't like poke my eye out.
That would have been so bad.
And try to be the responsible older brother, and all you did was just shun me.
Whatever. Let's talk about high school. Let's talk about high school, bro.
Oh my gosh.
One thing that I can
remember it.
One thing I can clearly remember is I feel like we were much closer in high school because my brother drove me to high school to school pretty much every day except for senior year, which we'll get into here in a second. But this segment to me about me and my brother, family, it's great because we were close. You know, my parents raised us to be that way. He drove me to school. I was a manager when he wrestled. I was a photographer when he played football. I did everything, and I wanted to be there all the time for him, and he was there all the time for me. But what's interesting is that Ben has the worst luck out of any human being imaginable. Ever. Like, I'm going to call this segment Bad Luck Benji. We're just going to talk about all the things that Ben has had to deal with kind of all in his life. Number one being when he was a senior and I was a sophomore, about to get my license, about to get my life, drive on my own. My brother got 2 tickets. And in Georgia, if you get a ticket, you have a point system, right? That's exactly right. And what, like, however many points, if you get too many, your license gets suspended. Well, he didn't want to try and fight one of them.
And one of them was for you. That's what, because I was late to pick up my sister from church, and I was speeding down Hunt Road, and I got it was like a 58 and a 35.
That's not my fault. You don't know how to drive on the speed limit.
Okay, yeah, it was my fault. Right?
And that one's
I was going to pick up my sister from church on a Wednesday night.
That's a speed trap, though. Come on now.
Yes, Hunt Road is terrible.
If anybody from Warner Robins is listening, they know. Hunt Road speed Lord. Trap. But Ben got 2 tickets, and he didn't want to dispute it because he didn't want to lose his perfect attendance pass for football.
The money.
Yeah, and what ends up coming in, December, your license has been suspended. So guess whose sophomore sister had to drive him to school every single day his senior year, starting in February?
Didn't he drive me to graduation, too?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure my last semester of senior year of high school, it was the most embarrassing thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's driving my truck.
I got your parking spot
to
and everything.
School, my parking spot that I paid for. And I'm pretty sure she drove me to graduation, too. And then drove me home.
That's just Ben's luck. Another thing that, before then...
I never get in trouble. But I literally got my license suspended by the government. It was terrible.
But one morning, he gets in the car. You're going to remember this really well. And we're getting maybe 2 minutes down the street. And he says, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Something's biting me. Someone's on my leg. And he had stepped in a pile of ants. A pile of ants. He's parking.
Driving down the road.
Yes, he's parking the car. He's hopping out, dragging his leg across the thing, like across the cement, trying to get all these ants off. It's absolutely hilarious. Well, then the next day, we get in the car, and he gets in. We're driving down the road, about the same spot that we stopped for the ants situation. And he says, "What's that smell?" I'm like, "I don't know, Ben. What are you talking about?" And he said, "What is that smell?" I'm like, "Dude, I didn't let one rip. I didn't do anything." He's like,
"Oh, no."
Yeah, he had stepped in dog poop. He had stepped in Molly's dog poop, and he got in the car. So he stops again, gets out, and what does he do? What does he do? He gets back in. We get to the stop sign of our own street. And he starts saying, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what's biting me? What's biting me?" He had stepped in a pile of ants right after dog poop gate. I mean, this boy has the worst. Do you not remember this, dude?
Yes, it's terrible. It's so bad.
Tell us about your story that happened literally like 2 days ago.
Okay, so I was driving, you know, I was coming to see Darlene yesterday, and I was passing Matt Arthur, and I saw the new construction over there. I'm going down the little low hill, and I'm coming up where all the new houses are, and it just starts sprinkling, and then, boom, flash of light. It got super hot right outside the window, and I felt like a ball of static electricity. Like, literally, the lightning struck right next to the truck outside my driver's side, and I don't know how I stayed on the road.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how you did it. You probably almost got struck by lightning.
It was bad.
So tell us, give us another bad luck Benji moment.
Oh my goodness, there's plenty of them. I remember, like, do you remember when I was real little and went to Missouri and Mom told me not to, like, get close to the edge, and I was, like, looking at the fish and I fell into the pond?
No.
And you know what's crazy? Because we have a picture of it.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I remember.
That's how long ago it was. And I fell in the lake. And I should have listened. I got too close and I fell right in. You don't remember that at all?
I don't, no. Okay,
so then there's, like, plenty more stories. Like, you know, just typical of me. Like, getting cauliflower ear in high school. Just, oh.
Which, to explain, he was a wrestler. And cauliflower ear is, like, when they have this headgear, the opponent likes to try to, like, mess with it sometimes, and it's just a lot of hands-on stuff, but you get fluid back up in your ear, right?
Yeah, so I wasn't expecting, like, it would happen to me. You know, you never think it's going to happen to you. So then your blood vessels break in your ears, and, like, it fills up. Yeah, just, anyway. You've seen it in, like, MMA fighters, but, like, so it happened to me, and I had reconstructive surgery on my ear, and that took me out of wrestling for a little bit. And then I remember I wasn't even supposed to wrestle this tournament, but Coach Malcolm, we had this little try wrestling meet, and for some reason Micah couldn't wrestle my weight class, my cousin Micah, and then I was like, "Hey, you go wrestle this guy," and I was wrestling, no big deal, and then all of a sudden I wake up in the hospital because the dude knocked me out. He, like, slammed me wrong and, like, tweaked my neck, and I just woke up like,
yeah,
what is going on?
That was scary. I wasn't even there, but I heard about it, and it was actually a friend of mine's boyfriend at the time, and he was just a freshman. He didn't know anything. He didn't know how to do it, so he did the move wrong or something. That's how, like, they explained it, and the ref didn't stop them. So of course, next thing you know, you're out because he thinks
I don't remember
he pinned
anything.
You. Yeah, it was scary. That's what my mom said. It
and
was
then,
so scary.
Like, I remember Coach Bruce. He was like, "You know what, hey Ben, you're gonna start this week for football." I'm like, "That's awesome. Like, I love to start senior year. You know, big, like, all this the same year that all this crap happened to me, right?" So senior year. We were about to play Warner Robins, and we got murdered the week before that by Northside, like 49-0. And then, you know, practice Monday, practice Tuesday, and then all of a sudden, QB comes running around the corner, and I tackled him. But when I tackled him, like, my foot gave way. I went too low, and my foot just, like, caved inwards. And my whole foot was, like, purple and blue for, like, 2 weeks. Yeah. And I was like, "Well, guess that means I'm not starting." And it basically took me out my entire senior season because my foot was just, like, obliterated.
Yeah, Ben just has these bad luck moments. I mean, it's just, it's hard, but I do feel bad for you sometimes that you just get the worst hand, a couple strings of bad luck. But
it always reminds us to stay positive, that it could always be worse.
Yeah, because I still remember Ben had this wonderful, when I was a wrestling manager, he had this amazing this amazing, like, pin. We were in the middle of the set, and I was, like, the noodle girl. It's where you had this foam noodle thing, and you were to whack the wrestler, whack the ref with it. I took so much pride and joy getting to whack them at, like, the one-minute mark or something when you were supposed to stop. And I'm sitting in the chair. I'm like, yeah, Ben, go get it. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, wait. But I'm, like, you know, like, not supporting you because I'm, you know, a manager's supposed to be neutral. Yeah. Get him, big, get him. And all of a sudden, he's, like, kind of getting near us at the edge of the ring, at the edge of the mat. And he's got this guy in this pin. And the guy's, like, kicking his legs and squirming like a little bug because he knows he's about to lose. And my brother looks at me up at me, and I'm like, yeah, pin his butt. Burn him, Ben. And he goes, he's looking up at me from on the floor. Now, he's got the kid, like, underneath his armpit.
Like an arm choke.
And he literally is like, yo, what's up? And he waves at me. And I was like, yeah, like, that's my brother. Like, OMG. It was, like, the sickest move I've ever. I was just little, what's up? I was just like, I could not.
And I pinned the guy with the mat. I felt so bad.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. But, yeah, so for some of Ben's bad luck moments, he does have some good moments. So let's talk about Eurovision. Is it worth it? What kind of rate are we giving it today? Let's talk about going over if we liked this movie or not, Ben. Now, first of all, before we go into anything, spoiler alerts, there are a couple here and there. We're going to obviously save the ending for you to go watch on Netflix, but just a fair warning, all who enter... Be warned, because we are giving dropping some major spoilers. So to give you a little bit of information, this is a movie about Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams, or at least it's about their characters, Lars and Sigrid. They're Icelanders, I should say, and they're a couple, as in terms of a band called Fire Saga. So anyway, they compete, or Lars's dream is to always have competed in Eurovision, and Sigrid's just always been the one that has supported his dreams and wants to help him through life, whereas everybody in Iceland, you know, laughs at him. His father thinks he's worthless, you know, shame, and the mom of Sigrid even doesn't even like Lars.
And Lars, there's like a little romance there, like she always likes Lars, but Lars never realizes it, I guess. It's like comedy romance. It's really weird.
Right. So it's very much like rom-com vibes, but also like mystery vibes, but also like entertainment music. So it's a really combination of a lot of different things, and I think that's a pro of what makes this movie get great, is that it gives you a little bit of everything. For me, I love the music. The comedy wasn't really my thing, but when Ben came and watched it with me, he was busting out laughing. I was busting out laughing. And the second time around, you kind of get a little more of the underlying hints than you do the first time.
The only con, though, was that the movie was so long. It should have ended at an hour. There was, like, the technical practices that they did. It was ridiculous. They had so many practices. Then there was, like, the semifinal. And then there was, like, the actual championship round. And, like,
gracious. Yeah, I mean, there was just so many different plot twists that it was, like, and not even plot twists, just, like, you know, building on building on building, that you're like, why is this scene even necessary? Why is this even important to the movie?
There was a lot of worthless scenes.
Yeah, and the flow just kind of was disrupted by them. I think that's our biggest con, is what we say, is what we think that, obviously, when we were looking at it, or
like
at the...
Pause movie and insert random scene that has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah.
Back to reality of storyline.
Yeah, and it's like you get to an hour and you're like, okay, they performed. This should be over. And then it's like, wait, I have another 50 minutes left of the show, of this movie.
But I will say, one of my favorite scenes is the very beginning where they're making fun of like every music video ever made. And it's just them playing the keyboard and showing random scenes from all over the globe in Iceland.
Yeah.
Them singing in like a uniform. It was.
Well, it's definitely only Iceland because that's where they're from. But they have like the silver lipstick.
It was all over Iceland. All right. It looked like it was all over the world. Okay. It was just.
Yeah, it's just Iceland.
Making fun of, you know, every music video ever made, of just showing random beautiful scenes with broad, vast openness in the background.
Well, and what's so funny is that they're wearing, again, like silver lipstick. They have the weirdest eyeshadow. They're singing Volcano Man. Like, that's the title of the song, is Volcano Man.
Which I think and they, to see... they actually released that before the movie, and I think that's what got everyone hooked on it. I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. They released the single Volcano Man with that music video before the movie came out. Yeah.
So what's so funny is that that's a great point because, like, it reminds me of Daft Punk, like, just, like, this electro, weird, funky, you know, music. Very, very right, way off track kind of thing that could be so popular because of the small majority of people that love that kind of stuff. It was just weird. And then...
Like what's that band, like, the old, like, early 2000s, like, 90s band, Evanescence or what was
I don't
it?
Even know.
I have to look it up.
Okay, well,
it's the chick that sings. I can't remember, and she's just like always like I don't know. It had that kind of vibe to it.
Well, moving on from that, that's one thing that Ben kind of took away. What I kind of took away is, I just love the music. The music was so good because they did a really good job of doing like every type of music out there. They had R&B. They had like your very alternative rock. They had your hippie pop, as well as like they had this one song that the girl looked exactly like Selena Gomez, but she performed like Katy Perry. Like Ben even mentioned, oh my gosh, she's got the like huge, huge things like Katy Perry did at the Super Bowl performance. And it was just like, we were just trying to compare what the performances looked like in terms of musicians of today.
Yeah, it was like an Evanescence, Bring Me to Life, like music video type. It just had that like random kind of like early 2000s vibe to it.
So our next fun fact of the movie is they referenced elves so much in this movie that I looked up online. Apparently, according to a 2017 National Geographic poll, Icelanders, 54% of Icelandic people believe in elves. They have roads that will divert away from small hills and areas where they believe elves could be. They even have, like, they previously had a mayor or some type of official who swore on his life that an elf saved him from a car accident.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, Legolas, like, you know, life-sized human, Lord of the Rings type elves. And their houses are, like, smaller than a doghouse. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I will say I thought that was kind of a cute touch. Not cute, but a lot of things in this movie as well kind of tied comedy and even just, like, super somewhat realistic vibes. Like, the fact that Icelanders actually truly believe in that and they tied that into the movie. Another thing that really kind of resonated with me is when they get out on the stage and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And, you know, they kind of pan and it's kind of like golden seats. They're like, this is our opportunity. This is our future. And it gave me Miss Georgia vibes just because my first time in a tech rehearsal for Miss Georgia, just looking at this Columbus Theater, just seeing yourself on the stage and all these empty seats, you're just so nervous and so excited. And I had dreamed about that for so long. So I really, truly connected with Lars and the fact that I've been dreaming of performing on a stage like that since I was probably 7 or 8 years old, 7, maybe 10 years old. So to have that feeling, they just displayed it so well, and I really appreciated that. And then the second part is just that the choreographer, like, reminded me a lot of Janda, which a lot of my pageant girls will know exactly who that is. She is so funny, but so, you know, like, on point. She wants choreography to be on top, and that's what that lady reminded me of. So, apparently they had avalanche cameos from Eurovision's performers, from past Eurovision winners. For example, they had Conchita Wurst, Austrian winner from 2014, Loreen, Swedish winner from 2012, Alexander Rybak, the Norwegian winner of 2009, Jamala, a Ukrainian winner 2016, Netta, 2018, and remember that girl, Netta is the one who had the very funky space looking outfit, it's like a onesie, she came out of the car. Well, she was from Israel and she just won 2 years ago. Anyway, that's pretty cool. I think what's really good about this whole movie and what I kind of really like about it is that they obviously play from, again, things in real life. Obviously, Eurovision is a thing we really, Americans, have not heard of. I really never heard of it as a musician. Like, I should probably know about it, but I don't. But they played off of true things, you know, like, you know, Icelandic folklore, the Eurovision Song Contest, even the character from Russia was based off of a Russian character that competed in 1995. Also, what's crazy about that character, He was Beauty and the Beast from the live action, and I couldn't believe it. Well, I really liked it. I just think it's really great. And one thing that I think is very interesting is Rachel McAdams' character. She, I could swear, did not sing anything in that. Because, you know, a lot of times they'll have people, like, dub the music. And they didn't.
It was terrible acting. Like, as far as, like, faking songs and, like, music.
Absolutely.
But the actual filmography, the shots were, like, fantastic. Absolutely. But the acting was terrible.
In terms of acting like they were singing, yeah, I completely agree. But I will say, apparently McAdams's voice was blended with another Swedish Swedish pop vocalist who actually competed in Eurovision a while back. So I thought that was interesting. The songs they have are really good because it's a little bit of everything. Ben, if you could rate this like 0 to 100, what would you give it?
63%.
That is crazy. Okay, because I was going to rate it, like, maybe 70, you know, because that 30% is lacking in terms of the pace and the random, you know, ties to other things. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 63 on the dot.
No, it did not. Yes, it did. Are you serious? Yes. Like, and, you know, I was thinking that because I was thinking Rotten Tomatoes, they never have, like, a whole number. It's never just 70%. It's like 71% or 68%, you know. So
what's crazy, though, is Tomato meter is what they call it. Gave it a 64, but the audience score gave it an 81%.
That's just, you know what I feel like the audience score is based on, because like they just know Will Ferrell, so when they see it, they're just like, I have to watch it. It's gonna be funny.
So this next segment that I kind of want to talk about, I am a huge avid Disney lover. Like, I love Disney.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I collect Disney pins. I love all the movies. I, you know, want to go to the parks all the time. I mean, I've at least pretty much gone since, you know, 2015. We went my first time in 2005, and I kind of kept the string going when I went my senior year. But this next thing I want to talk about is the Splash Mountain debacle. So I don't know if you know this, but Splash Mountain is obviously one of the original attractions of Disneyland, Disney World, and it's based off of Song of the South. The movie does have some racial tendencies, some racial stereotypes, and it's been so looked down upon that even Disney, like, doesn't like it. They've collected VHSs of it and destroyed them. They try to collect everything and try to get rid of it because it's just something that embarrasses Disney in general. So that's what Splash Mountain's based on, right? Well, about last week, Disney announced that they are turning Splash Mountain into a Tiana ride. Have you seen Princess and the Frog?
No, I'm totally old school Disney.
You don't like any of the new ones? Brave, Merida? You don't like Rapunzel? Rapunzel's amazing.
Like, maybe like How to Train Your Dragon I've seen. That's about it.
That's not even Disney. That is DreamWorks, is it not?
Oh my gosh, is it? Wait. I thought it was Disney.
Time out. Disney debacle.
Going to see that one in
Disney debacle is How to Train Your Dragon, a Disney movie.
Oh man, no, I'm pretty like, I definitely am not a fan of like the new Disney stuff. It is live action. What?
It's not even Disney.
It's Universal.
It is DreamWorks.
I'm not even like about Disney new stuff.
My brother's also kind of a rabid squirrel. Sometimes you just gotta bring him in. You just gotta show him that little acorn. Just wave them back to reality, okay?
Be Squirrel. Like... Oh, that is a good Disney movie. I love Disney. Yes.
But Splash Mountain is being turned into Tiana's place. And I think
for
me,
going to be like a splash? Like, are they still going to have the splash?
Yeah, yeah. Water? But
it's
there's
just going to be, okay.
It's going to be themed more towards Tiana. And I really like that idea. But I think it's like a little too late, you know, because I feel like they're just doing it because of all these protests that we're having for Black Lives Matter and the protests for, you know, to end racial inequality and police brutality. I think they're just doing it to be a little more politically correct rather than doing it out of the good intentions of their heart. And I think a lot of people are really upset because Splash Mountain is like OG, like OG of OG, you know, space, the Splash Mountain, then you got Small World. I mean, it's like two.
Are they tearing down like Small World or something like that?
No, I haven't heard that. But for Splash Mountain, I think it's a good idea to go and make it into Tiana you know, Tiana's place, because they have a whole bayou scene where they're riding the alligator to try to become humans and find Mama Odine. And I think that'd be a great kind of transition for Splash Mountain. But you know what I would love better? Pocahontas. Pocahontas has a whole
Yeah,
river
she's like
scene.
the log that she's
Yes,
in.
and that's exactly what Splash Mountain
The
is.
spirit of the wind.
Wrong
And then,
song. It's
wait, no, it, what is it? I can't
just around
remember.
the river bend. And
Go!
it's she's literally in a river. She's literally in a river, and she's literally in a log, which is what Splash Mountain is. You're in a log, and you go down the hill. It's like a 40-foot drop. Why not
Yeah,
Pocahontas?
because they fall off like the waterfall, right?
Right. She even falls off a waterfall. Yeah, I just think it's a little too late, and I don't feel like it's with genuine heart that Disney's changing it. I just feel like due to this climate, like for example, a lot of NFL teams are rethinking their logos, their brands. Mississippi took down the Confederate flag out of their state flag. I think that's appropriate. They're the last state in the South to do so. I also think, you know, it's important to set up the future generations for this, like to set up where we don't have these biases in our heart and in our minds and also in our works. You know, obviously with Disney back in the day, Song of the South was a good movie. Mom said she even listened to it. She said that grandmother had it on a disc and she played it. I mean, the
What?
minute I said Song of the South, Mom started singing Zippity Doo Dah. She was like, Zippity Doo Dah, Zippity Day,
Nope.
my oh my, it's a wonderful day. And then she started singing the rest of it. I was like, how do you even know this? She said she grew up with it. But I mean, you gotta eliminate that and change with a genuine heart. I think that's what's important. But I like it. I kind of like it because Tiana's a good
Pocahontas
one.
is definitely the way to go.
I still think Pocahontas, she's very underrepresented. I definitely think Pocahontas would have been better. But Tiana's a next, you know, kind of second. You gotta see that movie. It's really, really good. So this next segment is called Georgia on My Mind. And it is kind of just highlighting something about Georgia in this present day, as well as kind of some great things that we're known for, some touristic sites. But this week is talking about State Farm Arena. They actually announced that they are partnering with Fulton County to create like the United States' largest voting precinct starting in July. So for July 20th, I think that's our early voting. And obviously, you know, going into the election here shortly. But I think it's just interesting. I think it's wonderful that they're partnering with them because obviously with COVID, you need large space. You need to house the millions of people that are in Atlanta alone. You need a large area. And with all these different CDC regulations of spacing and social distancing, I think it's wonderful. Go register to vote. Go register to vote. Make sure your voice is heard, whether you're 18 or 75. Make sure you're just registered to vote so you can go vote for this upcoming election. 2020 is a big year. Ben, thank you again for being on this podcast. I really had a great time just getting to interview with you and talk about your life, as well as talking about a couple different things in our world today. I hope you enjoyed being on my podcast, and I can't wait to have you on a future podcast as well.
Thanks, darling, for letting me on the show. You're a great sister. Have a good one.
Like always, if you made it this far, it would be a wonderful thing if you could just give me a follow on my social medias. I'm at omy.darlin on Instagram, as well as I've got a website. It's www.darlinjdavis.com. You can go check out my page. If you would be so kind to subscribe to this channel, give it a 5-star rating. It really helps me out, and I really appreciate it. But as always, y'all have a wonderful rest of your day.